Hello, it's Tuesday, October 25th, and you're listening to Wing TV. I'm Lisa Giuliani.
And I'm Victor Thorne. Welcome to Wing TV. Today we have with us Mr. Brian Peach. Now, most of you don't know who this is, but on October 17th, he was fired from our local college newspaper called the Daily Collegian. The reason cited for his dismissal, it was an opinion column that he wrote for the opinion section of that newspaper. Now, this firing occurred nearly 2 weeks after he pitched his idea to the editor, and almost a week and a half after it was actually run in the Collegian. Now, there was nothing that was done in violation of the Code of Ethics, and this story is now being picked up nationally. The Center Daily Times, our local newspaper, is covering it. Also, Bernard Goldberg from CBS fame is talking about it. Also, the Students for Academic Freedom and other internet columnists of the alternative media have now picked this story up. So, Brian, welcome to Wing TV.
Hi, thanks. I'm glad to be here.
Oh, thank you. Well, I know you don't have a whole lot of time today, so why don't you real briefly give us the nutshell version of what happened here with your dismissal, and how ironic it is that you were fired for an opinion in the opinion section of a newspaper.
Yeah, it is a little bit strange. Basically, what happened is I pitched a column about October 5th, I believe. October 5th was the day that I went over it with Miss Jen Winberry, who's the opinion section editor. So it was sometime before that, maybe October 3rd or 4th. And Miss Winberry was well aware of the column, aware of what my intent was in writing it, and I didn't want to cause a ruckus or anything. You know, I just wanted to write something very truthful and informative. So we went over the column on October 5th. I asked Ms. Winder if there's anything that would prevent the column from being run or anything like that, because we have had problems in the past, had some like late night, Thursday night re-edit sessions before my column actually went to print. I wanted to make sure that wouldn't happen, and she said no, everything was fine. So the column went into the paper on October 7th. On Monday, October 17th, about a week and a half later, I was given an email from Miss Jeanette Hanna, who's the editor-in-chief of the Daily Collegian, who I'd actually never even met up until that point. She wanted to meet with me in person, and I had no idea what the meeting was about. I asked her twice through email what the meeting was concerning, and twice in subsequent replies she refused to answer the question. So I went down at about 8 o'clock p.m., and she told me I was dismissed for the column.
Okay. Subsequent to your dismissal from the Collegian, you weren't given any reason even for your termination. She says it's not incumbent upon her to give a reason for your dismissal, even to you.
You know, that's one of the main things I definitely had a problem with. During the meeting of my dismissal, the only thing we talked about was the column. So I was aware that it was this column that I was getting fired for. And with Ms. Hannah told me is, you know, from what this column says, it appears to me that you don't want to be here anymore. If that's the case, then you're dismissed. I said, are you asking me whether or not I'd like to be dismissed, or are you telling me? She said, well, I'm telling you, you're dismissed.
Now, in your column, one of the things that you wrote about was that you said the Collegian opinion page reflects more the opinions of the editors than it does the columnists, and also that the newspaper is more concerned with its own agenda, for lack of better words, than that of the concerns of the readers. What are your thoughts on that?
Well, I definitely agree with that. I was in a position with my columns and writing my columns where I wasn't completely comfortable with what was put into the paper. And when there's an opinion column that goes into the newspaper with my name and my picture beside it, I want to be completely comfortable with the final result. And when I was during editing sessions for several of my columns, I only actually had three printed for the Collegian. I was there for about 7 weeks. But during my editing sessions, I was becoming increasingly frustrated with what Miss Winberry had me do as part of the editorial process. You know, she'd come in and say, well, this looks good, but how about you say this? Or how about you mention something like this? Things that I hadn't even thought of or hadn't even crossed my mind when I wrote the original column. You know, and I had to fix my columns to the tune of what she was saying in order to get them printed. And really, the second column that I wrote, it was about depression. And it was originally a very lighthearted, humorous column about the topic. Not offensive at all. And when Miss Winberry was done with it, it was changed into something that was tonally completely different. It didn't really reflect my intent writing the column at all, and I actually lost sleep over it because I felt like this was something that was going out to whatever 20,000 readers, and it didn't accurately reflect what I initially intended to say.
In your experience with the Collegian, do they have a history of censoring, watering down, altering the content of news stories or opinion columns?
And also, Brian, what they wanted you to change wasn't things that you had factually wrong, right? They wanted to actually change your opinion.
Yeah, I definitely agree with that. In terms of watering down the news stories, I think that's a problem that all news sources have. And I say that in my column because news is a very, very narrow medium through which we gather information, through which we receive information. First, we're told, you know, exactly what to write about. We can't write about stuff that's not deemed newsworthy. And we're told how to write, you know, inverted pyramid, most important information at the top and everything like that. So I think that's what's going on with the Collegian. Symptomatic of a larger problem of the news.
Yeah. Now, after all this happened, Jeanette Hanna, who's the person who fired you, she released a four-paragraph statement. And I just want to read three real quick quotes about the First Amendment and censorship that she said. First, Ryan Peach's dismissal as a columnist does not infringe on his First Amendment right. He may continue to freely speak without government interference. Secondly, being a columnist or reporter at this newspaper or any newspaper is not a First Amendment right. Mr. Peach's right to speak his mind is inalienable. His right to do so as a Collegian columnist is not. And finally, she said, the First Amendment guarantees his right to choose the content of his own newspaper without government interference. The First Amendment does not give him the right to choose the content in someone else's newspaper. So in her opinion, I guess, censorship only deals with the government. But I disagree with that. What are your thoughts?
Well, you know, in terms of that, there is definitely a load of case law that goes to support that any kind of government subsidy or tax money subsidy on a newspaper or something like this would definitely be in violation of the First Amendment if something like this happens. So, of course, I'm not a legal expert. I don't have any sort of legal background, but I've been assured by people that, you know, there's certainly something to be said about that. So I am looking into legal counsel. I'm working on that right now, and I don't understand or know what gives Ms. Hanna the legal authority to say this is definitely not a First Amendment issue. That's just not so. I'm sorry.
Good for you.
Brian, a few years ago, an event called Cunt Fest was reported on by the Collegian and the CDT here in State College, and that was a very controversial event. It resulted in a lot of opinions, varying opinions on the event itself. They published that, but they won't publish, or they have a problem with an individual opinion. To whom is this a threat, your opinion?
Well, you know, I think that the moment that it becomes introspective, the moment that an opinion starts to look at the Collegian under magnifying glass, that's when it becomes a problem. I know that the Collegian has printed some very racist columns in the past. I remember one from 1992. I forget exactly the name of the author who wrote it, but it was basically a don't trust the white man is the devil type column. And you know, what distinguishes my column from that kind of vitriol and that kind of hate, I don't think that I said anything that offensive. The problem was simply that, you know, I chose to be critical and rightfully so of the Daily Collegian. That's where it becomes a problem.
Yeah. Your column was printed in the first place. It was approved by your opinion editor. Why wasn't she dismissed?
Well, what I was told during the meeting of my dismissal was we couldn't fire Jen, the opinion editor, so we had to fire you. My column did go through several tiers of the editorial process. First, when I pitched it, then when I sent the initial column to Ms. Winberry on October 4th or 5th, she read it, emailed me some feedback about it. We went over it again on October 5th, person to person, and then I assumed that, you know, she must have read it again before it went into the paper, and Ms. Jeanette Hanna as well. At least I feel that's the editor-in-chief's job to screen stuff that goes into the newspaper before it goes in. I understand that it's a daily newspaper and that maybe she's not able to screen every little piece of writing that goes into the Daily Collegian, but you'd think that the opinion section would be a priority for the editor-in-chief to read every evening before the paper goes to press.
Yeah.
So, yeah, you're right about that. It did go through the editing hierarchy, and I don't understand why there weren't any internal repercussions due to that.
Right. Now, Brian, not only were you dismissed from the Collegian, but if anybody wants to actually read the column in question, it was entitled News Writing Process Yields Many Tough Obstacles. If they go to the Daily Collegian's website, this article has actually been deleted or censored out from there, and I guess that the editors felt that it was necessary to tamper with a historical archive. I mean, this was something that was already published, and even Jason Blair, who is a major fraudmeister at the New York Times, his old articles are still online, yet yours has been removed. What do you think about that?
Oh, I think it's a shame. What I was told during my dismissal meeting was, I said, you know, you're entitled to your own interpretation of my column, however wrong it may be. Apparently I'm not entitled to my own opinion anymore. Ms. Hanna said, oh, you were entitled to this one, all right, assuming, implying, you know, that I got that one out there, and then that's the only one that I'm allowed, and now she won't even give me that. So it is frustrating that people aren't able to go on the Collegian's website and read the column that the Collegian thinks is so offensive. If they really had a problem with it, I don't see why they couldn't run some sort of correction or note before the column that says this is not endorsed by the Daily Collegian, and try to save their eyes that way. But taking it off the website is certainly, as you pointed out, more or less tampering with a historical record of what happened that day, because if you go onto the Collegian's website, go to the October 7th webpage, what's in the opinion section isn't what actually went into the paper.
Have the editors of the Collegian released any guidelines for what is an acceptable opinion?
Unfortunately not, and I say unfortunately because there are four opinion columnists who are still writing right now who I imagine must be in fear of what they can and can't say.
I didn't
violate any specific part of the Collegian's code of ethics. In fact, I didn't violate any part of it at all other than the rule that says the editor-in-chief makes the final call, the final editorial decision, you know, so that's pretty much a catch-all for whatever the editor wants to do, and it's nice that they added that little clause in there, but I didn't violate anything.
Yeah. Now, Brian, you've mentioned how the Collegian tries to alter opinions via suggestion and persuasion. Describe that a little bit more.
I think that it really goes back to Plato's idea of force versus persuasion in his Republic. We are certainly not forced to write something to the extent that, you know, we're not told that we're going to be physically harmed if we don't write anything or put something in that they want us to put in, keep out what they want us to keep out. But at the same time, we're certainly persuaded to write certain things to the end that our columns probably won't get published if we don't follow the rules, you know, if we don't make the changes that the editorial staff wants us to. And it's not just a simple question of placing a comma where it needs to be or putting a period at the end of a sentence, formatting for style, you know, it's changing the tone and ideas that our columns are about. In fact, I've gotten an email from one of the other Collegian columnists who said, this is after this whole thing came to pass, said, you know, apparently nobody learned anything about your column, because half of the words that I printed or that were printed in the Daily Collegian for my column on Tuesday or Wednesday or whatever weren't even my words. Mm-hmm. So, you know, this isn't just a problem with me, it's a problem with other Collegian columnists as well.
Now, anybody listening to this, I hope they're getting the gist of what's happening here. This is just something that's happening in a college newspaper, but I'm certain that it happens on a much larger scale.
We've seen this happening also at the CDT, this ignoring of news and not printing stuff that is newsworthy. They sort of decide what people can know. Let me ask you this. First of all, Jeanette Hanna wrote a piece in the opinion section. Apparently her opinion is acceptable. She wrote this: my ethics professor explained a few weeks ago that being a reporter and working in a newsroom requires one to give up certain fundamental freedoms for the sake of impartiality. What is she talking about there, and what are your thoughts on that comment?
Well, you know, I was never told that. I don't have her ethics professor, and that's an interesting concept that I'm of which I'm completely unaware. I wasn't told to operate underneath that concept during my tenure as a collegian columnist, so I don't think that's even worth addressing.
Now, Brian, this might be actually the most important question of all, is that before or while you were in this meeting where you were subsequently fired, you were told that the editors of the Daily Collegian had been consulted about your column before your dismissal. Who do you think they were consulted by, and what do you think the reasons were given to the editors of the Daily Collegian?
Well, I don't know exactly of what you speak. I do know that that Collegian staff members were told about the situation, and they had talked about the situation before I was fired. So there was certainly something brewing. But I, in terms of some kind of advising as to what direction Miss Hannah should take concerning my dismissal or anything, I don't know anything about that.
What do you think this suggests to the public if a news organization conducts itself in such a manner, not representing news, not allowing opinions to be freely expressed, and not feeling like they have to explain their actions to the public or to the people involved in the immediate situation?
Well, you know, especially when something's in the opinion section, it is supposed to be an unabashed, unapologetic opinion, something that somebody truly feels has convictions of and is responsible for as far as their own material is concerned. And if opinions like this are being censored, that says to me that there are certain things that the Collegian doesn't want people to know. The Collegian and Miss Hannah apparently don't want people to know about the inner workings of the Daily Collegian, which is strange because after criticizing me for writing about it, Miss Hannah wrote about it in her October 24th column yesterday. So I definitely think that it suggests that that the Collegian doesn't want people to really understand the inner workings of the news organization and exactly what they do in terms of filtering news and opinions.
There's an escalation now after this story. There's a big buzz around here and throughout other news organizations. Have you heard from Graham Spanier or anyone on the Penn State staff regarding this situation?
I haven't. I have heard from professors and people who either, most of whom, a large vast majority of whom agree with me and my position. I think that one email that I got from a professor said that basically that the Collegian has the right to screen their own opinions. I don't know to the extent of which he really understood or knew about the situation.
Why don't they just add, Brian?
In terms of Graham Spanier or anybody like that contacting me about the situation, no, it hasn't been like that at all.
Why don't they just add a disclaimer saying that these opinions are individual opinions and they're not reflective of the editorial staff of the Collegian?
Strangely enough, there is a box right next to my column in the October 7th edition of the Daily Collegian that says that. It's always there. It's there on the bottom left-hand side of the opinion page, every single issue. So, you know, that was already covered. I don't know why they feel the need to censor it now. It was their responsibility for casting the column if they felt that it was unnecessary to print. They didn't do that. They printed it, and then they make me lose my job for it, you know, it's turning me into a whipping boy for their stupid internal communication failure.
Yeah. One last question, Brian. But first, if anybody does want to read Brian's original column, it's not on the Daily Collegian, but Bernard Goldberg from CBS actually links to it or has it on his website if you go to bernardgoldberg.com. But in this column you say, and this is a quote, the moment one thing is suggested or added that the writer didn't originally intend to say, the column begins to reflect the paper's agenda, that means the Daily Collegian, rather than the columnist. Doesn't that sum it all up right there?
Yeah, I believe that it does, and I know that during my dismissal meeting, Ms. Hannah took up issue with the word agenda. She said, what exactly do you think that the Collegian's agenda is? I thought, you know, maybe I should have chosen a different word. Now it's becoming more and more clear that that word choice was dead on, that the Collegian does have an agenda. They're imposing that on me and on their readers right now through the situation. If you want to learn more about the situation, you can go to a Zanga blog that I have set up that deals with it. It has the original column as well as my response to Ms. Hannah's column yesterday and a bunch of other information resources to help fight back. That's www.zanga.com/dismissedjournalism. And if you go on that website, then you'll be able to get started and figure out exactly how to help deal with the situation if you'd like to.
You're seeking legal counsel, aren't you?
I am indeed.
Yeah, and what do you think the next step is in this whole process?
You know, I think that the only way this can be rectified is through exposure. People need to know about this. They need to know about what the Collegian is doing and exactly what happened to me. And, you know, if I can keep pushing this to more news outlets, the more people who cover it, the better. It needs exposure. It needs to be a hot topic, something of discussion, something that people can talk about, you know, over lunch or when they're walking to class. I want this to go outside of just state college area. You know, I want this to really be a bigger issue than what it is right now.
Well, so, we can certainly help in that aspect.
Yeah. Well, Brian, we're 100% behind you.
Yeah.
We're going to link to your blog today. We also linked to your article yesterday. And in the future, if there's any new developments, drop us a line here, and we'll most certainly get the word out. So
absolutely. Keep in contact. I'll be more than happy to come back on and keep you guys abreast of the issues.
Well, thanks for taking some time out today, and just keep fighting against them, okay?
Thank you. You folks take care.
You too. We'll be back again on Wing TV tomorrow. Until then, keep your eyes open because there is a lot going on.
See you then.